Prince tonight.
The booster plays plus 200.
Oh, that's nice. 2-1. All right, go ahead. Just,
that starter, man.
Yeah, that's what worries me a little.
He's not good.
We'll see.
All right, all right. We will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko
in 2 minutes.
Take that.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Crosstalk brought to you by the Hawthorne Racecourse. Harness Racing back at Hawthorne Racecourse with betting action every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night under the lights at 7. Get picks from the great Jim Miller on the Odds Couple with Carmen and Yurko and details at HawthorneRacecourse.com. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, JR. JR, please keep sending out reply all. That was awesome. And thank you, Jesse Rogers.
Carmen Yurko, bop, 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 bop.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Okay, yeah, when you send that email to the entire company,
morning,
yeah,
John.
That's an awkward feeling. Poor,
yeah,
JR.
And JR said on the email that, yes, you know, he wants more money. He's been responsible for the success of Stern, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Responsible for this.
Well, he was. I mean, he produced Howard Stern and Mike and Mike. And I brought all of the newspapers up to the newsroom.
Those are two legendary morning shows.
I mean, that's good for your LinkedIn.
And he was responsible, according to him, responsible for the success of Bill and Wendy.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's Buzz and Wendy.
Buzz and Wendy. There you go.
Buzz and Wendy.
I love Buzz.
What's up, fellas?
Buzz Aldrin.
I love Buzz Kilman.
How are you, kid?
I love that laugh.
He had a great laugh.
I love Buzz.
Love that laugh.
Absolutely.
Danny got good news.
Yes, Danny Zetterman got great news.
Tell us what happened.
A listener invited his dad and nephew to play in the golf outing.
If you remember, we had this saga where I couldn't get my dad and nephew into the golf outing. A great listener. His name's Eric Miller. He's from the Wheaton Sports Center. That's his company. He has invited my dad and nephew to play in his foursome.
That's really nice.
That. Isn't that sweet?
Danny,
what do you think of that, York?
It's such a happy story on a Friday. The weekend's going to just be grand.
Why don't you really say what you said when Danny told us?
Because I can't use that language.
Right,
here.
Exactly. Well, on the Crosstalk podcast,
my weekend is made now. I mean, hell with Mother's Day. Danny's dad's and nephew are playing in the golf outing. Woo!
Well, the good news there is that Harry will, I'm sorry, Sven.
Bring cigars.
He'll bring us cigars.
Yeah. When, who gives a rat's ass?
He shows up at the golf outing.
Guess who's not getting a cigar? Fat Johnny.
Fat Johnny will have his own cigars, so don't worry about it.
Are they from Three Chi?
No, they don't make cigars.
Danny is such a family man. You know, he was so concerned about getting his dad there and his nephew there.
Such a family man.
That he almost got in big time trouble. I mean, he's going over the boss's head.
Ask Cuddy. We walked into our meeting with Mike and Mike was not happy.
Yeah.
He felt betrayed.
It's called harassment.
Yes. Yeah. He was not happy. You know, Mike's face doesn't really change.
No.
Unless he's smiling.
Right.
So that's why it's really difficult. You know, it just, you know, Danny was trying to be, you know, hat in hand, trying to explain everything. Hamina, hamina, hamina. But it just wasn't working. Hamina, 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 hamina. It didn't work.
As Danny explained it, Mike said, I have timestamps. The color drained out of Danny's face.
That's when you know you're kind of like you've been boxed into the corner a little bit. You know, you're painted in a corner, and it's like, oof, how do you get out of it?
Wow. It's a lesson on what not to do.
Yeah.
A lesson on what not to do.
Did Danny make up with Jessica? I hope, in our promotions department.
She just sent me an email as we're talking, and she said she's so happy for my dad, and I responded, you're officially off the hook.
All right, good. She's off the hook.
That's good. Yeah, she's off the hook. Yeah.
And that's something.
What'd you say, Danny? She's off the bus list, would you say?
I don't have a list like Cap. I don't live my life in the... I don't choose to live in the negativity.
I love how Cap... Like, John Hamm is on Cap's list because of a character he played in the movie.
He's also a Cardinal fan.
Because he played a character I didn't like. Take that. Yosh.
I didn't like his character in The Town either, but he's a great actor, and he pulled it off. Yes. I mean, you know, it's like...
He the FBI guy?
Yeah, he's the FBI. He plays a lot of FBI guys.
Well, which role doesn't he like him in?
He doesn't like him in the Richard Jewell movie.
Clint Eastwood made. Yeah, I'd have to watch that.
I didn't see it yet either. I heard it was good. I didn't see it. And I like Clint Eastwood's movies.
What golf tournament is on right now? What's this?
It's at Quail Hall.
This is the senior tour, isn't it?
No, the big tournament this weekend, Phil Mickelson is the leader going into today.
That's right.
What is this?
Well, this is, I don't know. Is this the senior tour right
now?
No,
it's, well, that might be the senior tour, but the PGA tour is at Quail Hollow.
Yes. Yeah. And that's Phil Mickelson is your leader alone.
After the first round.
Yes, he played amazing golf yesterday.
Wow. It's round one. It's not just one round. It's four. He's got three to go.
So I got where is this at?
I don't know.
I just know it looks a little chilly out there. They got the long sleeves.
They got sweaters on. None of the caddies are in shorts.
Yeah.
It's just golf. That's
looks
why
like they're golfing here.
That's why Merck put it on.
Because
It's in Alabama.
Well, this is where Barkley was playing.
What's the name of the tournament, Merck?
Regions Tradition. It's a major.
Oh, Regions Tradition. It's a major.
This is the one Barkley played in the Pro-Am?
I mean, how about major?
How about Barkley's swing? It looks 100 times better.
That's David Toms.
It is David Toms.
You know who his caddy is?
David
Stan
Toms.
Makita's son-in-law.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yerk.
I know that. There's
Yerk. The Regions is a major.
Colin Montgomery.
The Regions is a major?
Colin Montgomery still has a nice swing.
The Regions Traditions.
Yeah, it's a major. It's one of their majors.
On the senior tour.
On the senior tour, okay.
Yes. Come on. Can you believe Barkley's swing, though? It really looks better. I mean, he got that hitch out finally.
Yeah, well, compared to what he used to do, it looks phenomenal.
Who did it?
I don't know. I don't know who worked with him.
There's Bernhard Langer.
Oh, God. On Golden Pond, that's what they should call this.
Bernhard Langer, though, he
played well in the Masters.
Like he plays like he's 50. I mean, he's got to be 70 years old.
He's got the illegal putter, too. Here we go.
Well,
there you go.
No, they can't. Those are illegal. They just can't anchor it. You can't anchor it to your chest anymore.
It's illegal at Jackson Park. You can't.
Wow.
I mean, look at that thing. It's 10 feet tall. Come on now.
Yeah.
Is he do that because he's in the senior tour? He needs the extra extension?
They want to do it so they don't get handsy.
Bernhard Langer is only 63.
Oh, I thought he was older.
You don't get yippy.
He looks great for 63. He does. Yeah, you don't get the yips.
So there's your leaderboard there.
Darren Clark. Look at all those names. Jerry Kelly, who I once tried to book for the old Mac Yurko and Harry show. Speaking of 20 years of Yurko. Yeah, Jerry Kelly. Well, he was like the round one leader at the Western 1 year at COG.
Yep.
And so Delavitt calls me and says, they want Jerry Kelly.
They
and
want
I'm like,
Kelly.
Jerry Kelly. Jerry Kelly grew up in Wisconsin. He's a big Packer fan. Good hockey player from what I understand growing up.
Yep.
Played on the PGA Tour for a long time. Good golfer. Well, he was salty. He wanted nothing to do with it.
You know who Jerry Kelly, one of his best friends is?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it makes sense.
He wanted nothing to do with coming on the afternoon saloon.
Nothing to do. He was annoyed that I was asking him.
So he did not do it?
No. Yeah. A lot of people are like that.
Then they made me, not made me, but they said, Carm, book Brandel Chambly. This is when Brandel was still playing. Brandel was a little bit more courteous, and he said he'd call. He said, give me the number. I'll call on the way home. I said, all right. So I called Dad. I said, Brandel Chambly's calling in. I don't think he ever called.
I don't think we ever got Brandel Chambly.
I don't think so. Golfers don't like doing it.
Why?
I don't know. And
we tried to get, what's his name, John Rahm to sit down with us.
Yeah,
or did John Rahm sit down and put the headset on?
John Rahm would have, if I had pushed him harder, he would have done it. I'm convinced.
Merkin, remember we did the show a few years ago at Medina for the BMW? They had the Ernie car right for us.
Yeah.
Who was the golfer you tried to get?
I'll tell you who it was.
Carm knows who it is.
It was Francesco Molinari.
Yes.
I mean, there's Merkin trying to best Francesco book Francesco Molinari.
That was it.
He had
hey Paisan.
He goes on.
He's the Paisan. he's telling him the guy's in Italian.
Yeah.
Francesco Molinari couldn't get away from Randy fast enough.
His excuse was
following him to the locker room door. Remember
his excuse
that?
Was I'm too busy. And then he spent the next 40 minutes on his phone just sitting at a bench.
He looked at Murphy. Like, get away from me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything.
Graham McDowell walked by and I'm like, hey Graham, real quickly, and he was like, go and get some meat. I'll be right back. I'm like, all right.
They all see him again. Yeah. They're like, oh, I got to go in the clubhouse for a second. I'll get you on the way back. We never come on again.
The only guy that came out was Yurko's guy, Mensch, Jim Furyk.
Well, Furyk, because he loves Yurko.
My guy. I mean, what are you going to do there?
The rest of them, pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, not for nothing, but Tiger ain't walking through that door. You got nobody that interesting on your tour.
Correct.
They should be banging down the door saying, will you talk to one of our golfers?
I can get Andy Reid on the day after he wins the Super Bowl.
Sean Payton.
Right.
Anytime we call, Sean Payton will come on. Anytime. Merck tries to get the guy who like just went through Q school. They're like, nah, he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, Bill Jones.
Well, how about do it?
You know what killed booking? The cell phone.
Yeah.
That's what killed it.
Guys get badgered too much.
That's what killed it. When you can get them like at an office phone or their hotel, that's when they're accessible.
You have to get them on the hotel phone.
That's where you and Merkin were the best because you would call, you know, whatever nice hotels in the city. Yes, do you have a... Red Shane Dienst, please.
Red Shane Dienst.
Yes, I don't think
In all my years,
let's speak to Spencer Peugeot. Please.
In all these the years, all my years in this business, especially when I was a reporter booking guests Take for that. Shows, I don't think I ever successfully booked a PGA golfer once. Not once.
None?
I don't think so. But these guys tell me, hey, go get Kerry Wood on today. Okay, Kerry, want to go on with Mac Yerkin-Harry? Sure. I mean, I don't think I ever once successfully at the Western or at the, let's see, what else would it have been? 03 yeah. at Olympia Fields.
Right.
That was the U.S. Open. Anything at Medina. I don't think remember I've ever once guy? Successfully booked a PGA golfer.
Our sales guy, George. Remember George, the national sales guy back in 03?
What's tried George's to book last us name?
John Feinstein.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
Oof. Yeah,
I've done been down that road.
Not only that, no, he wanted to obligate us that we had to have him on
a Merkin special.
That didn't work so hot. That went over like a lead balloon.
He's got a book.
So he was in studio here with me.
Feinstein.
Merkin set it up. He was here. He comes in.
BJ Singh.
I said, "Hey, we'll get to your book in a minute. I got to ask you about Season on the Brink with Bob Knight." You'd have thought I asked him for $1 million. He answered the question in like 8 seconds. He goes, "Are we done with that topic?"
Yeah. You talk about like, salty.
John Feinstein book, A Good Life Spoiled.
His book is A Good Walk Spoiled.
That's great. Funny. A Good Life Spoiled.
Yeah. That's funny.
VJ Singh gets it right there on the green. So here we go. VJ at the Regent.
So that's 12
feet
right now.
For birdie. A downhill breaking a bit to the right.
The senior Beautiful. Tour on.
Beautiful.
Golf.
Who's next?
Anyway, well, you guys have a wonderful weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Good Mother's Day.
Here's Tim Petrovic. Oh, sorry.
I don't know.
Yeah, have a wonderful Mother's Day, all the moms, and you guys with your families and your moms. Absolutely.
Kick us out, York.
All right, time to go, boys. I'm trying to be nicer.
See you, boys.
Still a little salty.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, now get the hell out.
All right, a little salty.
All right, appreciate you. Hoodie,
no
love you. See you Monday.
And a little salty.
All right, out of here. York. Have a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. We'll see you Monday at 7.
Salty.
See you.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Happy Friday. Welcome in. It's Carmen and Yurko. To steal a line from Cap, good kid, it is go time for the White Sox. The Royals have lost 5 in a row, 3 in KC this weekend. The next 13 games are against the division. The next 19 are against the Royals, the Twins, the Yankees, and the Cardinals. 3 of those 4 teams are currently,
it's go time.
Currently above 500. Yes, it is go
time. So that's where you're at.
Time.
It's about time.
You're entering a tough stretch. You're going to find out a little bit more what your offense is like 3 weeks from now when this run is done without Luis Robert. And what you might need to do as we get ready to make the turn into June, when 2 months of the season will be in the book. So let's go. And you got me feeling good. You've got me feeling invigorated, Yurko, and confident in the way you've been talking about Carlos Rodon going to the bump for the White Sox.
As well you should. I've got him as leading Cy Young candidate.
Do you want to know what his odds are right now?
60-1.
30-1. So Nostra Yurko over here.
Yep.
Maybe we should be making our futures bet right now. The leader, I figured the leader would be Shane Bieber. The actual betting, the odds-on favorite is actually Gerrit Cole. And I think 3-1, and Bieber is second choice. No, I'm sorry. Boy, Gerrit Cole, and he has been great. He's been their only pitcher that's been great, I think, in New York. Gerrit Cole is +160. Wow.
Yeah.
He's almost as heavy of a favorite.
He's off to a great start.
Yeah, I mean, in New York, he's almost as heavy of a favorite for Cy Young as DeGrom is. DeGrom's even money for Cy Young in the National League. Shane Bieber is +320. Tyler Glasnow has been great the last couple years. He's 4-1. Lance Lynn is 14-1. That's the White Sox that's got the best odds right now, or I should say the lowest odds, not the best, 14-1. And then if you go down a little bit, you'll find Carlos Rodon at 30-1 with another one of the guys that threw a no-hitter, just like Carlos Rodon this year. John Means is also 30-1.
And he just did it.
He just did it.
Just did it.
We've had 3 no-nos, should have been 4.
Right.
We're 6 weeks into the season.
I'm
3 no-nos should be 4, but they won't count Baumgartner's.
I'm excited for you, for the Chicago White Sox, because it's time to answer the bell. You've had 30-some-odd games where you guys just kicked the ball around a little bit. You had a little bit of fun trying to figure out exactly who you are. And now it's go time. Now it's time to go ahead and say, all right, all the practice, all of this, all of that's over. Now the real tests are starting to come. And you listen, for the next 30 days, how many games did you say?
The next 19 are against the Royals,
so
Twins,
about the
Yankees,
next 22
Cardinals.
Days, yes. The next 3 weeks.
Next 3 weeks.
Will dictate you. At the end of May, you're going to have a clear understanding of what you have and what you don't have.
That's what I was saying. I think
by
you're right.
Memorial Day, yeah. Carm, you will understand. You'll be either putting a flag in the ground and commemorating the Chicago White Sox on a wonderful year, and you'll already be washing off the season, or you're going to be celebrating with a White Sox flag up high, waving it proudly. If they can answer the bell against all these winning teams.
I have a simple request. Well, I have two. Two requests. Don't boot the ball around, because you really don't want to give the other team extra outs.
All right, boot the ball around.
And they've cleaned a lot of that up. I mean, there was some real sloppiness when they started the season to the way they were playing defensively. Don't boot the ball around. Yasmani Grandal seemingly has cleaned up the catcher's interference issue that was going on.
Whatever problem he was having.
I don't know what that was all about, but it seems to be cleared up. Don't boot the ball around. And Tony, wake up. That's it. Two very simple requests. Those guys will go out and take care of the rest. Tony La Russa, wake up. Literally, figuratively, whatever you got to do to make sure you know the rule book and your coaching staff. You're holding your coaching staff accountable. Your coaching staff, in turn, is helping to hold you accountable.
Yes.
Everybody, get on the same page, wake up, and don't screw it up.
And go back over the memos from the spring.
I would.
Whatever memos came from the league, go back over those memos.
I would have spent the off day taking a look at those memos. That's a very good point. Let's make sure we go through the rule book here as a group. You know, Jesse was on earlier today. Jesse did good work yesterday. Jesse Rogers. He contacted a bunch of AL managers, and some wanted to go on the record, some did not. And the ones that did not were honest with him. I know one specifically said, but it had to be off the record, he was unaware of the rule. Obviously, it's going to be a rule that is not going to affect American League teams very often. You're only playing, I think, 9 games in the National League Park where you won't have your designated hitter. You might not be as familiar with a rule like that, because it's just not going to come into play for you. But there were AL managers, Mike Matheny, Chris Woodward, and I think a couple others that said, yes, they're aware of the rule, that the league sent out a memo in spring training giving everybody a heads up. All 30 teams got it. Yes, a little bit more important for the National League teams, but all 30 teams got it. Here it is. Universal DH is gone. We are not going to have pitchers running the bases in extra innings. You are allowed a substitution. And I believe it's the player in the batting order that preceded the slot that made the final out, right? Because they double switched Vaughn out.
Right.
All of a sudden, Hendricks goes in his spot. So Vaughn made the last out. He should have been the runner, but they double switched. The league said, no, you're not going to have to put your closer on the bases in the 10th. Jose Abreu batted before in the line. I think that's how it goes, right? And he's the one who then gets to run the bases. It is a very clear and specific rule until they finally do go to the universal DH, which at some point you think will happen. Neither here nor there right now. Be aware of the rule. And I'm agreeing with you, Yerk, that they should have spent the off day. Let's go back and look at all the memos that were sent, what we can and can't do. This is like twice or three times now Tony La Russa has said, oh, well, I was unaware of that. I was maybe even more.
It's great that he's honest. He's great that he's telling you, hey, I wasn't on top of it. You know more than I do. But that also makes you scratch your head and go, what in the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand what your pain is and what your discomfort is and what White Sox fans are feeling all over the city of Chicago. I understand that. But you are where you are, and you have who you have, and he'll continue on. And he'll be your manager.
Here's Jeff Passan with Waddle and Silva yesterday talking about Tony La Russa and the entire situation. Remember, he put like just kind of a, I don't want to say it was a throwaway line, but he wrote in one of his articles over the weekend that there was already, from what he heard, some growing buzz that, you know, players' patience was wearing thin with Tony La Russa. This was Passan talking to Waddle and Silva yesterday.
I didn't think there was going to be multiple situations where what Tony La Russa said following a game was just embarrassing. I was looking for a single, he said, when they were down multiple runs, and he sent slap hitters to the plate. I guess you know that rule better than I do. Like, that is, I'm not going to say that's a fireable offense, because that's going a bit too far. And that also is an indictment on all the other people in the dugout who didn't seemingly know it either, or they felt like they're not emboldened enough to go and talk to the manager about it if they do know it. And either of those situations is bad. I don't think this is to the point of irreconcilable, but I think that Tony La Russa has to show something that he has not shown yet, which is a very visible thing to people inside the clubhouse. Are you there? And what I mean by that is, are you there so fully, so invested in this game, in this team, in the rules, in your job, that no one's going to sneak anything past you? Are you going to be the person who historically you have been, the guy who's going to outsmart and outwit everyone? Because if not, then there are a lot of people out there who are well capable of doing that job and who can do it better than he has this year. And the frustrating part of this whole thing, guys, is that people in the organization recognize that this is not up to the general manager who manages this team. This is up to the owner.
Right.
And as long as Jerry Reinsdorf is in Tony La Russa's corner, and I don't see a scenario in which he's not, he will be manager.
All right, so Tony better start rewarding Jerry for the trust that he put in him this offseason. And these mistakes simply, they should stop happening before it really costs you when it matters later in the year. 312-332-3776. That's the number. Thoughts on the White Sox. Cubs stay home against the Buccos. They got a day game coming up today, fresh off that sweep of the Dodgers. Yurko, we're wrapping 20 years of Yurko at the radio station this week.
We're wrapping it up? You mean the celebrations?
Years. The celebration.
I don't think we should say wrap. I think this is a celebration. It should be going all year. All year.
It should go on forever.
Well, I'm buying lunch today. Yurko wanted Joe's. I'm buying Joe's. Merck, let's put the order in now.
You think it's going to be ready in an hour?
It would be ready in less than an hour.
Let's call right now.
Joe's? I think
we'll expedite the process.
Oh boy, I think we might have to do this next week.
I have never seen more of a negative Nancy in my life than this.
Negative Nancy.
Do you think it'll be all right in 4 hours? Is it going to take that long to cook the chicken, Mom?
Let's order right now. Quick, everybody go.
You think they're open at 10:30?
Well,
I mean, God, look at how negative Merkin is. He's talking reality. I mean, jeez.
Hey, if he had to crawl naked through 100 miles of broken glass to go get a chocolate chip cookie,
he would.
He'd do that in a heartbeat. He wouldn't even think nothing about it.
Done.
He'd be scraping his little guy against the glass just to make sure he got a chocolate chip cookie.
All right, jeez. Especially if it was one of those Toll House cookies from that place at Paris that he loves in Vegas.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, wow.
All right, go on the menu. Let's order right now. Come on. Yurko wants lunch. I'm buying lunch.
Do you think they could cook chicken in 90 minutes?
The fryer's got to be going.
What do you think? 90 minutes?
Let's try. We got a couple of special guests for Yurko today, too.
You've got to be a treat at the house.
Yurko, this is your life. We got some special guests for Yurko coming up. And it's our final day, your final chance to qualify for the MyJack trip to Indy. Freaky Fast Trivia concludes today. You'll get a question a little bit later on. We'll be right back.
Easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I'll give Merkin credit. He's working the problem. Joe's doesn't open until 11:30, Yurko. But Merkin is on the phone, using his power and influence, telling him, do you know who this is? This is Randy Merkin. Long time.
I just dropped your names. That's
long
all I did.
Long time guy.
And we had to bust his chops, though. We had to bust his chops.
He's seeing.
Otherwise, it wasn't going to happen. It's unfortunate that that's what it takes to motivate people. But some people are in a degradation. They need to be degraded to perform. And, I mean, if that's what it's going to take, kid, I'd be more than happy to be the guy that does it. But I'd prefer, you know, hey, let's just talk about it. Let's just get it done.
He's working the problem.
That kind of thing. So it's wonderful.
Good job.
It's good to see him grab the bull by the horns.
Correct.
The proverbial horns and make things happen.
Yeah, I agree. Watch us today and every day on Twitch. Twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. You can see what's happening inside the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios. Just hanging with Carmen and Yurko.
I'm hoping Randy puts another one of his tremendous stories from the firehouse and the Lazy Boy, the fireside chat on the Lazy Boy with the goofy socks.
There was a good one last week.
Oh, well, what a storyteller.
Merck's got stories up the wazoo.
Like Johnny Appleseed, this guy.
I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. What a storyteller.
He's got stories up the
tall
wazoo.
Tall tales sometimes. Yeah. Tall tales.
So I mentioned Jesse did good work contacting some AL managers trying to find out, like, did they know, did they not know. Here was Jesse talking to Rangers manager Chris Woodward about the rule change, saying, all right, like, it's an AL manager. Let's see if they're really aware, because they're not. It's not going to come into play for them a lot. Did you know, Chris Woodward? Here's Jesse talking to him.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I know it's, you know, I know Tony got a little flack for not saying he didn't, but it's one of those rules where they put a memo on your desk and, you know, in spring training where they talk about it briefly. And as an American League team, I can understand. I could understand why, you know, you might not be aware of it as much. And I know we go to San Francisco. When I saw it happen, you know, I remember reading that. You know, obviously before a National League series, I would always try to get caught up in all the, you know, any different rules or anything that we need to know as we head into a National League game. Because it could come up at any point in our games as well. I mean, if we lose the DH and all of a sudden we have to double switch and we have a pitcher spot in there. But I was aware of it, but I could understand why, you know, specifically an American League team may not be up to date, because it's a memo that you get that, you know, maybe you look over and you don't quite remember it when the time comes.
Is there someone on your staff?
All right, I got caught off there a little bit. Yeah, so Chris Woodward saying, yeah, they put the memo on your desk and you look at it and you should remember. Is that how that works? The league changes rules, put the memo on the desk of the coach. Here you go, take a look at it, make sure you're aware.
No, that's the way
that
it works.
What happens?
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes when there's a rule change, we'd always bring the officials in during training camp.
Right.
So if there's any changes being made or if there's a new emphasis or anything that was going on, they would explain it to you over the course of 2 days. But they'd be up in front. They'd explain to everybody exactly what they were looking for this year, what they were emphasizing, you know, this and that and this and that. And they'd go over it all. So you got it from them. But then the coaches also got the written stuff, whatever they had to do, if there was anything that they wanted to pay attention to. So that's how we did it. You got Major League Baseball umpires all the time. You get that memo. Wouldn't you go out and ask an umpire and just say, hey, what's this thing look like as we move forward? You know, well, how's it going to happen? And then you get an explanation from them. Then you know exactly what's happening as you go in. But it's incumbent upon the team, once they get the information, to understand the information.
Yeah, I would think coaches right. need to do,
they,
you know,
they can't
make sure
force feed it down. Yeah. You get it. You've got to look at it. And it's like mail. When you get the mail in, you know what's important. You know what's not important.
Usually, you know right away.
Right? You look through. Okay, bill. Oh, what's this? This is interesting. The SAG-AFTRA, another bill. You know, that kind of stuff. Property taxes, whatever it is. You know what's important. You know this is junk. This is junk. Politician junk. All that kind of stuff. You know what's in the garbage, what's not. You get that stuff in there, you need to know what's important, what's not important.
So we got a couple of special guests coming up today to celebrate Yurko's 20-year anniversary here. A couple people from yesteryear that you'll know right away when you hear their voices.
When I hear the voices?
Yes, absolutely.
Good people?
They're great people. They're friends of the show. You probably have an idea as it is. I'm, you know, keenly following what's happening up in Green Bay with each passing day. Hoping that for a change, it's their dysfunction that is something we can all point our finger at and laugh at. You know, usually it's the other way around.
Did you see what former fullback and teammate of Aaron Rodgers, John Kuhn, is that how you say it?
John Kuhn, yeah.
Yeah, what he said on, he was on a CBS Sports Radio Network show.
What'd he say?
He said he's spoken to Aaron Rodgers over the last couple of days mm-hmm. and believes it's not as bad as people are making out. And he thinks there's 70-75% chance that they make amends.
That he's
and,
back?
Yeah.
I'm really hoping for like full on. I'm just not coming, and they say, "Fine, don't come."
Well, it's not,
you know,
as
and
bad.
The Bears don't have to deal with Aaron Rodgers.
Did he not call for Gutekunst's head or no?
He did.
Didn't he?
Well, that's
did he call for him to get fired or no?
That's a report that's out there that he's like kind of delivered an ultimatum to the team: fire the GM or
I mean,
I want
is that
out.
True or not? If that's not true, then it's not as bad as we think. But if you're asking for the general manager to be fired, it's pretty darn bad. You know,
that's bad.
Yeah, you can't go out in the public and think that you guys are going to be sitting at a table together. Everybody's going to be happy. No more happy clams at that table, my friend.
It really is becoming like 1997, 1998 Bulls, isn't it? It's like becoming Michael and Scotty's disdain and distrust for Jerry Krause. And apparently he used that analogy to a group of teammates or
right.
someone. He used that analogy about how, you know, Gutekunst is he's our Jerry Krause from the 90s.
But Aaron Rodgers is the only guy that feels that way.
Yeah, there were more Bulls that felt that way. Like, Phil felt that way. Scotty felt that way. Michael felt that way.
I mean,
Aaron Rodgers seems to be the only one.
They've been to two straight NFC Conference Championship games. And just because they haven't been able to get over the top and get to the Super Bowl, I mean, you're in a position, you're in prime position to win. Seems to me like everybody's doing a pretty nice job there, except in the NFC Championship game where they find a way to lose.
There's two things that have to keep him up at night. The special teams, I don't even remember that guy's name. Who was the guy on special teams, remember? On the onside kick?
The wide receiver.
Yeah, the wide receiver. They caught him.
He didn't do his job. He was supposed to go block, and the ball was supposed to come down into the other receiver's hands, whether it was Devontae Adams or Randall Cobb or somebody that was going to sit there and catch the ball. He went and jumped up and tried to grab the ball instead of doing his job. He got greedy.
So they lose that game against Seattle. I'm blanking on his name. Last year, I mean, Tom Brady was gifting them that game.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers so thoroughly outplayed Tom Brady in the NFC Championship game, it's not even funny. But they couldn't do anything with those turnovers in the second half. Then the coach decides to kick the field goal instead of go. And Aaron Rodgers is upset. Like, those things must keep him up at night. But I love that it's happening to them. Hey, I hope they play hardball with him and tell him, okay, don't come. Brandon Bostic. I would never have remembered that. That didn't even sound right. I thought it was like Michael something. Okay, Brandon Bostic was the player. And then I think they cut him later that summer. I hope they play hardball with him and they just tell him, don't show up.
I think that's what you're going to get.
We're not going to trade you, but don't come here. We'll move on.
That's what I've called from the beginning.
It'd be glorious for Bears fans, wouldn't it? Finally.
And then they've got to play Jordan Love, and it might be absolutely fantastic. You don't know.
Now, they've gone from Favre to Rodgers. I mean, could they really go three in a row? Could they really do that? I mean, aren't the odds against that?
You would think. You would think the odds would be against it.
I think maybe they know that, too, and it's why they don't want to trade Aaron Rodgers. Like, I know they moved up for Jordan Love, but considering the season he just had and how good he still is, part of them has to be thinking, Yurk, like, yeah, it might not be so easy without him. Like, I don't know if we're just ready to move on to Jordan Love. That's why I don't think they want to trade him. I know some Packer fans will say, screw him, trade him, fine, he doesn't want to be here. You got Jordan Love, you did it once before. I don't think it's that easy. Either way, the Bears win. Unless Jordan Love somehow is absolutely miraculous, like, this is a win for the Bears. Let them deal with dysfunction. Let them try to find a quarterback for a change, something they haven't had to do in the last 30 freaking years.
I'm going to that NFC Championship game. You said that he outperformed Tom Brady. 20-36 for 283 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's a bad game for Tom Brady.
It was terrible.
3 interceptions, yes, 3 interceptions. Aaron Rodgers was 33-48, 346, 3 tutties, 1 interception.
I mean,
QB rating of 101. 101-73, yeah.
I guess he thoroughly outplayed him.
In the quarterback rating system, not the crappy QBR that people try to sell you.
Yeah, because like Brady's might be higher because they won. I don't even know if you could see the QBR.
I don't look for a QBR. I don't pay attention to the number.
But no,
reverse engineered.
He outplayed him. And like there are things that hang around a quarterback's neck sometimes, or like this monkey on his back, even though he has won a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. But still, in a lot of people's minds, it's not good enough. Which is, I mean, I know how it goes. We're all fans, right? Cup fans will tell you. Like, Sox fans in 05 will tell you. I mean, I get it, but somehow Aaron Rodgers hasn't been good enough, really? And Cap's big on this. Well, look, he's got the same number of wins in the NFC Championship game as Rex Grossman. Come on, Cap.
That's when you just want to be foolish.
That's nonsense.
Yes. Of course it is.
He's got, like, that's his fault?
Right.
Or Rex Grossman somehow was ever anything close to being equal to Aaron Rodgers? I mean, give me a break.
Nothing.
And there are a few things that just haven't gone their way as a team that have cost them. He was on the verge of going to two others, or certainly one other, and a stupid special teams play cost them. 312-332-3776. Special guest coming up next.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
20 years for the good kid here at the radio station.
ESPN, 20 wonderful years, Carp.
Chicago. Yeah, 20
sometimes
wonderful
years. Sometimes tumultuous years.
A few times.
Yeah.
This after a very distinguished 10-year playing career. And a few people that were part of your life back then wanted to call in and say congrats.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So out to the Corona Hotline. Let's see. He coached in not one, not two, but three Super Bowls. And he won that glorious golden ring. Mike Holmgren joins us now on ESPN 1000. Coach, what's up?
Hey, good morning and congratulations. 20 years. I didn't think you were that old.
Yeah, can you believe that? 20 years, Coach. And I don't know where you're at now, but I hear the birds chirping in the background. It's almost like a broadcast of the Masters on a Thursday. Well,
you know where I am at? I'm at Rose Hill Cemetery in Chicago. We came back. We've been here a week. My now plane's going overhead. There were sirens. I forget how Chicago is.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, it can be. Yeah.
So we moved my daughter into her home, her new home in Andersonville there.
Oh, nice. And,
wait a minute, Coach. You've been here a week, and I'm just hearing your voice now?
Well,
No heads up. Hey, Yerk, why don't you meet me downtown? We'll go finish a bottle of scotch together or bourbon.
Well, no, but the last time I was on your show right there, you guys kicked me right out the door and didn't even pay me. You know?
I think that's right.
Yeah, that's the way we like to work.
Anyway, John, congratulations. That's amazing. You're a great football player, but this is clearly your wheelhouse. So nice going.
You know, I appreciate it. You've been so good to us over the years, Coach. You really have. I mean, you've done since you kind of stepped away from being hands on in football. You've done radio, television. You still do a show in Seattle, right?
Yeah. I'm on the show. I don't do any of the heavy lifting. I just, but I'm on with guys. Each host during the week.
Gotcha.
And then I was doing some color for Westwood, one on the national games, I'm not working very. I'm old. I'm not working very hard, and so it's nice to be with the grandkids. But this allows me to next week or June 5th is our Kathy and I said 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh boy.
And this little job I have gets me out of the house, gets out of her area. You know?
Yeah, which I'm sure. Yeah, but you know what it's like. I mean, that's a pretty good run in radio. So yeah, he's carved out a nice little niche. Did you know when he was playing for you? And he's told some great stories about the two of you together and some of the other interesting characters on that coaching staff that Yurko still has good relationships with. But did you kind of have a feeling he could be good at something like this?
Oh, there's no question. Hollywood or acting or, whatever he could, but my players, there are guys who are play football and there are guys who play football who are bright and who are capable of other things as well. And, there was never a doubt that after he finished playing, he was going to find something that he liked. And clearly he's done that. So, I'm not surprised at all.
Coach, let me ask you this about a current situation. And like, I know how competitive you guys are, and there are probably times when you still miss it. The competitive juices. But I got to imagine you're glad that you don't have to deal with anything like they got to deal with in Green Bay right now with what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. How tumultuous of a situation is that?
Well, it's not good. That's for sure. I've been asked that a fair amount in Seattle about this situation. And John, you remember how it was with Brett and the guys. I can't imagine a relationship between the coach or management or whoever's making the decisions and a star quarterback like that getting to this point. I just can't imagine it. I wouldn't allow it. It wouldn't happen. But now it has happened. And I would call him in. We'd sit down and not leave until we kind of had an understanding one way or the other. And either, he's going to continue playing or you'd have to, the ball's in his court, because I want him there. I need him there. I love him. Now, what are you going to do? They didn't handle it very well, I don't think. I don't know how you guys looked at it, but they didn't handle it very well.
Yeah, when you were a coach or when you were a general manager in Cleveland, was it incumbent upon you to inform your team members when you were going to draft a player at their position?
No.
Yeah,
no,
you just did. You went about the business of drafting, and whatever you acquired. And guess what, guys? We're adding people to our team, and if they happen to be at your position, so sad, too bad, bye-bye. This whole we've got to give people a heads up, it's perplexing to me. I don't get it.
But I think, you know, when you have a you also know your players, you know. And I mean, listen, this is the second time the Packers have gone through this. They did, they went through it with Brett too when they drafted Aaron, ironically enough. And so, but if you have a superstar like that, or a Joe, the guys I've been privileged enough to coach, like a Joe Montana or those types of guys, you know, in San Francisco, Coach Walsh didn't, Bill Walsh didn't tell Joe they were bringing Steve Young in. He just did it, you know. And but it's, John, look, I know you made a lot of money playing. I know that. but it's a different world now. It's a different world. And with a franchise quarterback and a guy as good as Aaron, you know, you probably have to – you don't treat all the players the same. I mean, you have a bright – no one crosses. But, you know, I would call him in. I said, look, we're going to do this, but don't – this is how it's going to affect you. We got to get ready for when you retire – we got to kind of think of the franchise, but nothing's going to happen now. You're the man. You're the guy.
Yeah.
And or somehow. Then if he didn't like that, now all of a sudden you're at the situation you have it. But you're right. We never talked to the players about who we're going to draft. Listen, hey, the same thing. One other thing. You know, the Seahawks are going through that a little bit with Russell Wilson.
That's what I was
going
to say. Did they do a better job of, like, putting out the fire this offseason? It seems like they did.
Well, I don't think they did, but I think Russell is a different – I think the two guys are different guys. They're both very talented. But Russell, you know, and Russell's so controlled. If you've ever seen him at a press conference or anything, he's just like Superman in his responses and stuff. And then I think he just had a moment where he got upset and said something, and everyone's going, oh, they were just shocked because he doesn't do that kind of stuff, you know. So, but they – and he hasn't played as long as Aaron. And I mean, but there's some similar things here.
Coach, listen, thanks for always picking up the phone. We love catching up with you. Be well. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Next week. Absolutely.
Yeah, no kidding. June 5th, by the way.
June 5th.
Happy anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, John, Kathy wanted to know where you live. Because she's she went to school in Chicago. Are you out in the suburbs? Are you in the fancy suburbs?
I'm in Northwest Indiana.
Oh, okay.
Twice the house, half the taxes, Coach.
That's his motto, Coach.
That's where we go. Twice the house, half the taxes.
Very Yurko saying, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm out in Schererville, Indiana. Beautiful Schererville, Indiana. Crossroads of America.
All right. Hey, take care.
All right, Coach. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Always good talking to you. There's Mike Holmgren, the former head coach of the Packers and Seahawks.
Calling players to tell them we're drafting a player at your position. It was never even a consideration of anybody in anything ever.
He was in San Francisco on Bill Walsh's staff. He said Bill didn't call Joe and say, hey, I'm bringing in Steve Young. And maybe that wasn't as much of a threat because Steve Young was kind of, you know, early in his career was, teams were giving up on Steve Young.
He was with the Tampa Bay Bandits.
Tampa Bay, yeah. And, you know, and so.
He was in USFL.
Right. Yeah. And then the Bucs briefly, wasn't he? Wasn't it both? I thought it was.
Yeah, I think he ended up with the Bucks a little bit. Then they traded for him or they brought him in.
But, you know, like Bill Walsh didn't call Joe. Maybe it's a different world now. I don't know. It's crazy. But they got a serious issue as they try to work out with him. Like I said, I'm glad they're dealing with it for a change and not us. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be back in 2 minutes.